Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm trying to get all these gadgets going, so I say, oh, my God, here we go with all this extra today. But anyway, praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. I'm so excited about being on and continuing on our series of our series that is to know God is to know His Word, and that's the series that we are on. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for just all the things that the Lord is doing. He is such an amazing God. Such an amazing God. Let's see. Okay. I got to do all this. I got to start all this stuff. So now I understand why they be on here. And I'm trying something new. All right. So we're okay. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm doing all these live streams. I'm trying this out today, y'all. I'm trying it out, so we'll see how this all goes. And so I'm excited just to try to do something new and move things forward. Okay, so now I've got them all going. Anyway, praise the Lord, everybody. We truly give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. I'm on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, on the Instagram Live, and so I'm trying to do all this at the same time, so this is going to be interesting. And then I'm on my own radio show, Blog Talk Radio, of course. So anyway, we're still doing our series, To Know God. To know God is to know His Word. And so we're on Exodus. We're going to talk about the call and the commission of Moses. And also I would like to give the title, you know, God, sometimes things get worse before they get better, it seems like to us. But what we have to know is that God is still in the plan of whatever it is, whether it's getting worse, whether it's getting better, whatever it is, God is in the plan for that. And so we have to remember that as we move forward. So this is going to be, let me see if I can put this over here so I can look in one direction. Here we go. Man, hope this will work. Okay. So hopefully this is going to work. Okay, so now we're kind of looking in one direction and not going from back to back. Anyway, so let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for being my God. I thank you for being the sovereign God. I thank you for being my shepherd that I shall not want. And I thank you for being my strong tower, my righteousness, my refuge, my dwelling place. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for being my shelter in the time of storm. Oh, God, I glorify you. Lord, we magnify your name because you are so worthy to be praised. Oh, God, I glorify you because you're so wonderful, God. Lord, you told me I could lift mine eyes into the hills from whence comes my help, because my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lord, you told me, Lord Jesus, that with your stripes I'm healed. So, God, I thank you for healing, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're my Jehovah Jireh, Lord. You're my provider. Hallelujah. You provided in a place. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you for the word that came forth this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to bless us, Lord, as we bring forth your word this afternoon. Lord, Holy Spirit, speak through us, God. Oh, God, I magnify you. You're so worthy to be praised. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for being God. I thank you for being my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I thank you for being the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we glorify you. Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to be your servant, serving you as I can. Kingdom service, Lord, seeking ye first the kingdom of God and all of your righteousness, God. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, Lord, that this is a day. Lord, and we thank you for this being a day that you have made, and we're rejoicing and being glad in it. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask you to bless this word to fall on good ground, God. Lord, that those that hear will run, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, and do, and let your word will do what it has been sent out to do. God, we ask you, Lord, to touch all of those who have lost loved ones, oh, God. Lord, send forth your comforter, God, in the name of Jesus. Comfort them and give them peace as only you can. Lord, we ask you to bless all those in hospitals all over this land and country and all over this world. Lord, send your healing virtue into each hospital room, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, send your healing virtue and let them so that they can be healed, Father. Oh God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just like with the centurion soldier, we're going to believe like he believed, God, that all you had to do was send the word, and the word did it, Father. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. Hey, Shandarabasa, we glorify you, God. Oh, Lord, we magnify you as never before because you are so wonderful. Lord, Shandarabasa, glory to God. Thank you for being my peace, oh, God. You told me if I keep my mind stayed on thee that you would give me perfect peace. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless all those on the road today. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to let there be safe driving, oh, God. Lord, we ask you to bless our president and our vice president and all the Congress and the senators, oh, God. Bless them to work together in unity and not trying to, it's about my part, about bring down pride, Lord, in the Washington, D.C. Bring down the pride, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless our military soldiers, soldiers of whatever branch all over this world. Touch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless their minds, God. Hallelujah. Bless their families, Lord. Bless every wounded soldier that has had to come home, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch their bodies and their families, God. Lord, we ask you to bless our soldiers with discernment, Lord, to be able to discern the enemy all around about them. Lord, we ask you to bless our firemen, our first responders, and our police officers, oh, God, in every hospital emergency room, oh, God. Lord, that is dealing with emergency victims, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless, Lord, strengthen them, God. Give them the wisdom and knowledge they need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless every pastor, every apostle, every prophet, every teacher, hallelujah, and every evangelist, oh, God. Lord, those that poured out the word this morning, oh, God. Lord, replenish, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you to cover them with your blood, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us an opportunity, Lord. You rent the veil in the temple from top to bottom, and you gave us access to come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. We magnify your, glory to God. We magnify your holy name, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you for keeping my family, God. Oh, Lord, I bless you. Bless my family as they traveling to Texas. I got some traveling to Indianapolis. Bless them, God, in the name of Jesus. Cover them with your blood, God. We thank you for our brother getting back here from Liberia, God. We glorify you for bringing him back safely. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. Yes, God, yes, God, yes. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. We tell you yes, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you right now. Bless this word as it comes forth on good ground, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let us hear your word and be blessed by it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I praise your name, God. Thank you, Father. So, Lord, I thank you because we was in chapter 2 on last week. We were in Exodus. So this week we're doing 3, supposed to be doing 3, 4, 5, 6, but I don't know because 3 is packed so much. But anyway, I want to read verse number 2. And we're talking about the call of Moses. We're talking about the call and the commission of Moses. One thing I think about this particular passage was when Moses was called, God didn't only call him, but he commissioned him as well. And when God commissions you, he also gives you the power to do what he has called you to do and what he has commissioned you to do. So that's the wonderful thing about God. He just don't call you and then leave you out there all by yourself. No, he called him. Then he gave him the commission and he gave him power with it because he knew what it took to do what he needed him to do. He knew it was going to take power. He knew it was going to take a great power to be able to convince Pharaoh that he needed to let the people of Israel go. So this is one of the things that God heard from the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And if we look at the second chapter, I'm going to start right there just as a rehash. It said, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph had died. So we knew he was gone. And so God hears the people of a people's cry. So the one thing that Joseph had told them, he said that God will surely visit you and he will bring you out. And when you come out to bring out my bones, we talked about that last week. But the 22nd chapter and the 23rd verse says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed. So that's one thing they did while they was in Egypt. They sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried. That's the second thing. They cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. So if we think about that, so it was three things that they done. They sighed, they cried, and then they groaned. And the Bible says, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. There's a cry. I talked about this when I was doing that prayer series. There is a cry that you can make that will reach heaven, that God will begin to bring forth the plan and the purpose of your deliverance. I thank God for that. And so I'm so thankful for just that, just knowing that there's a sound I can make from the inside that God will, he said that God heard them. He said that God began to, he said the sound came up. And so God, he said the sound came up at their cry, and the Lord heard them by reason of their bondage. And then he heard their groaning, and he remembered them because of their groaning. So it said that, I'm going to go back over there one more time. It says, and in the process of time, it says, they sighed by reason of their bondage. They cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of their bondage. So it's a cry you can make that it'll come up to God. And then it says, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant that he had made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So anyway, so now we're going over to chapter 3, and so we're going to talk about the call of Moses. And this is Moses when he had the call came at the burning bush. And so what was interesting about this as I was studying, I was looking in the historian in the book of Josephus with the historian Josephus. And so one of the things that Josephus said, it said when Mount Sinai, because that's where the burning bush experience was. But the thing about Mount Sinai, the other shepherds would not take their sheep or their flocks up there because they considered that a sacred place. They said this is where God is dwelling. And so they would not take their sheep up there. They wouldn't do it because they felt like it was a sacred place. But here go Moses. Moses scurrying on up there with his sheep and with his thing because it was a well-pastured place. It was a place where they could eat and where they could go. So as Moses went up the mountain, then God stopped him and he saw the burning bush. And so when he saw the burning bush, Moses, you know, he was like, wait a minute. Because the bush was still had the green leaves on it. The bush was still had the flowers. The bush was not consumed by the fire. And so Moses saw it. So he said, well, let me turn and look at this again and see if I'm seeing what I'm seeing or am I having some kind of hallucinations or whatever. But whatever, he turned and he looked. And there it was. He saw the bush burn. So I'm going to read the scripture in chapter 3. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Hor. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw nigh hither. Put off thy shoes, for off of your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord, so then the Lord hears the affliction of Israel. And he said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Understand, God sees your affliction. I want you to be comforted in that. God sees your affliction. And so he said, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto the good land and to a large land, large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, God is telling them where he's getting ready to take them to. He's telling Moses, I'm going to bring them out of Egypt, but this is where I'm taking them to. So God don't bring you out of nothing and don't put you in a better place. I want you to be encouraged about that. He don't take you out of a mess and then put you and not put you in a better place. I'm so excited about this right here. And then it says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the land, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, I was thinking about this, too, because, you know, one of the concerns of the king of Pharaoh was is that the Israelites would join their enemy and come up against them. And so some of the enemies of Egypt at that time were the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Ammonites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Those were enemies of theirs. And so they thought that they would join forces with them and come up against Egypt. Well, no, it wasn't that way. Anyway, they were going to end up fighting them because they were occupying the land that God had given them. But, of course, they didn't know that, but that's how that went. And then even with this, too, so Jethro is a Midianite. The Midianite was Abraham's seed as well because that Midian was one of Abraham's sons that he had with Keturah. That's what they that when you look at when you listen to it on the Bible audio Bible, he says it's Keturah. I thought it was Keturah, but anyway, so that's what he said it was. But anyway, Midian was one of his sons. So really, Moses and Jethro are really some kids, even though Moses came out of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jethro came out of the lineage of Abraham and Midian. How about that? And so that was the lineage where that came from. But anyway, then it says, God sends Moses to Pharaoh. That's the next part of chapter 3. And it says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain, upon the mountain where he was, where the mountain right where he was. He said, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, well, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God says, and here comes the I am. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And the Lord, and God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. The I am is coming. The I am is in your corner. The I am is with you. The I am is protecting you. The I am will deliver you. The I am is bringing you out. You got to be excited about that. Hallelujah. So then they gather the elders of Israel. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together. And they say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Somebody needs to hear that today. God has visited you, and he has seen what is being done unto you, and he's going to bring you out. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. God will deliver Israel from bondage. That's what it says. It says, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Pharaoh would not let him go, and I'm going to talk about the hardness of his heart in a minute. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not, hey, Roy, not by, hey, Phyllis, not by the, I can't see because I've got, I'll be close up here, saying a little bit over, just a little bit, so I can see what's going on. Anyway, not by the, let me get back to my script. And I am sure that the king of Israel will not let you go, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Because one thing God was doing when he started sending those plagues, he came against every god of Egypt. So each plague represented a god of Egypt. And, of course, that last plague, which was the plague of the firstborn, represented who Egypt thought was their god, and that was Pharaoh. So he came against Pharaoh, and he took his firstborn son. But we'll get to that as we go. We're not on the plague yet. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass. But what that ought to encourage you about is that God, when heaven is fighting for you, he'll do what he needs to do to come against that's trying to come against you. That ought to get us excited just about that alone right there. That God is that amazing to us, that he will fight for us, and he said, I will bring down every god, every enemy that tries to come against you. I've already conquered it. He's already conquered it for you. Oh, my God. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Now, here they was in bondage. Let's think about their place. They were in bondage. They were slaves. They were all of these things. But what God told them was, he said, when you go out, you're not going to be empty. He said, you're not going to be broke when you come out. So when you come out of this thing that you seem like you've been in for a while and God's going to bring you out, you're not coming out broke. You're coming out ahead. You're coming out ahead, the head and not the tail. You're coming out above and not beneath. You're going to come out where you're going to be able to lend and not borrow. You're going to come out where you're going to be the one, the blessing, to be a blessing. Come on here. We got to think what see what God is saying. He said, and ye shall not go out empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. You know, God was good. Praise the Lord, Elder Pitts. The Lord was good at spoiling your enemy. Hallelujah. They so many times, they took the spoil with them. God would defeat the enemy on their behalf and then send them in to get the spoil. But this time, he was getting the spoil before he even brought them out. God is amazing at how he thinks the thing. It may not be like what we say or what we want it to be, but it is when it's what God wants it to be, it's a blessing. So we were talking about how Moses was getting the call and the commission of Moses. Moses went up there on Mount Horeb. He was up there, and he shouldn't have been because it was a holy ground. And other people knew it, but Moses went on up there because he had purpose. God was calling him up, really. The burning bush was his calling. That was a sign of his calling up. He was on his way up to do what God, because he had been in Midian for 40 years. You know, Moses' life is in 40 and three segments of 40. So his first 40 years was spent in the palace. It was in Egypt. He was raised as a prince of Egypt. And so he knew all the customs. He knew all the things of Egypt. He knew all of that because he was raised in that. He was a warrior. He fought in the Ethiopian war and won. And so he did all these things. I got that from Josephus. And so I got that from the historian. But anyway, he did all these things. And because he did all those things, he was mighty. He was physically fit. So when he even got to Midian and the daughters of Jethro were out there trying to flee the flock, and the shepherds were coming against him. He went in there and took care of all that for him. He went in there and won that battle for him. And then because of that, he was able to feed all the sheep and all those kind of things. But I want to talk about a couple of things before I move on. So that's why I'm thinking I'm not going to get too far out of three, because three has so much in it. It's packed with so much. Anyway, but I want to talk about these things because they're in here, so I'm going to talk about them. So here was one of the things that says, and this is, it says, God had seven demands of God upon Pharaoh. One was, this was the beginning of Pharaoh's hardening of his heart. Because when we think about the hardening of the heart, and I'm gonna read this in, because this is in the Scofield Bible. And it says, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, because I want to talk about that for a minute, because when Moses gets ready to go to Pharaoh in chapter 4, Pharaoh starts cutting up. And so anyway, wait a minute, let me do something else before I get there, let me talk about Moses for a while, because I'm still talking about his call, his commission to Moses. And so then Moses was told to come up, and he told him to take his shoes off. And then God began to speak to Moses. Yeah, I want to get to this first before I go there, because I'm going ahead of myself. Anyway, he said God began to speak to Moses, and God began to tell Moses what he was going to have him to do. So he began to tell him about his calling and his purpose. And so God said Moses decided to look at the burning bush. And then Moses wanted to know why the bush was not burning. So then God called out to Moses from the middle of the bush, and Moses heard the voice from the bush. And then Moses answered God, and then Moses learned he was talking to God. He knew he learned he wasn't talking to a bush, but he was really talking to God. And you know Moses talked with God often. And through his journey, he talked with God all the time. He was in that place. And so that's what I'm saying. He was in that place where God would let him talk to him. And so he got to talk to God face to face. Wouldn't you want to be in that? I mean, it was a heavy, heavy place. But because of that, you know, we can talk to God too. We think, well, you know, that was Moses. But we can sit at his feet. We can sit at the master's feet and begin to talk to him and have conversation with him. And in our prayer time, that's how we have conversation with God. We talk to God one-on-one. We begin to interact with him, because anybody we love, we have to talk to him. If you love him, you have to talk to him. And if he loves you back, he's going to talk to you back. So sometimes when you're sitting at the master's feet, just sit there and be quiet. See what he's saying. See what he's saying, because he's going to be talking to you just like you talking to him if you allow him to say something. So many times we on a schedule. You know, we got a schedule. I'm going to pray from 4 to 4:30. Then from 4:30 to 5, I'm going to meditate in the Word. Then from 5:30 to 6, I'm going to work out. And so we on this tight schedule. But sometimes we just got to allow some time for God to say something to us, for him to just us to sit there and sit at his feet and be blessed and hear what he's telling us. We can get so much more direction if we give God the time to talk to us. Sometimes maybe you don't go there and say nothing. You just go in your spot where you talk to God, where you pray to God. Go down there and sit and just listen and get you some paper. Don't go without no paper, because you ain't going to remember. Don't go without no pen and paper. So when God begins to speak, you can write it down. I never forget, I think it was Anyway, but I remember him saying stuff. He said whenever he gets in his worship time, he always takes a pen and paper. He said because God is not obligated to repeat himself. And so since God is not obligated to repeat himself, you want to get what God says to you that first time. So you want to have something there to write with. So when you go sit at his feet, you can hear what he's saying. And when he's talking to you, you just write it down so you can have your clear instructions on what God is saying to you. And so here it was that Moses was getting instruction from God. And so Moses was told not to come close because he was on holy ground. He told him to take off them shoes because you're on holy ground. It was holy ground. You know, everybody else knew what that was, but Moses really didn't know because he had, it was what it was. And so the angel of the Lord was really the Lord. It said it was an angel at one time, but it was really God talking to Moses. And then Moses was told God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because this is what God is saying. He's talking to him. And so Moses heard God tell him who he was, and then he told him he was the I Am. And then he told God, he said, Moses covered his face in fear because our God is a consuming fire. And that's what he said that if we go to Hebrews 12:29, we can see that. And then it said here, what did I see? I said the act of oh, okay, hold on. I'll get back to that. So anyway, because I won't get ahead of myself, I wrote a note, and I want to make sure I remember the note. But anyway, God Moses heard the concerns of God, and God had seen the affliction of Israel. So this was something important to God. God wanted his people to be free so that they can come out into and go 3 days to sacrifice unto them. And really, this is kind of a type and shadow of God, because if we look at the way the tabernacle was placed, you know, Exodus is kind of telling us about the redemption. It's the redemption process. And so, of course, Christ is our Redeemer. So the book of Exodus has a lot of type and shadows of Christ. Because if you look at the makeup of the tabernacle, it's a type and it's a shadow of Christ. And so we got to remember that as we go along, as we go through this. So these are types and shadows of Christ. It is about our redemption. And so since it's about our redemption, you know, then we can look at it because Jesus is our Redeemer. So that's why I'm saying it's a type and a shadow, because of the reference of the book being about our redemption. So it was about the redemption of the Israel, and, of course, Jesus is about the redemption of the whole world. And so anyway, so then it says God has seen the oppression of Egypt. So they was oppressing them, and sometimes people are oppressing you. People may be oppressing you on your job. People may be oppressing you at your home. They may be doing it, but God, there's a cry you can make unto God. I'm saying you got to get to God and begin to cry out to God, because he said they sighed unto him, they cried unto him, and they groaned. And he said he heard all of that. And when he began to hear all that, he began to set forth their deliverance. And so God can set forth your deliverance as well. And then so God told Moses he would send him to Pharaoh, and Moses did go and speak with Pharaoh. But while God was telling him all this, Moses was coming up with excuses of why he shouldn't go. He said, you know, my speech ain't good. My tongue ain't good. As a matter of fact, what he was trying to say is I stutter. And so, therefore, how am I going to go to Pharaoh? But see, God was already making Moses a god in Pharaoh's eyes. See, God will fix it. God will fix it. He'll fix the situation before you get there. And so that was what he was doing for him. And so because Moses was so busy trying to give excuse of why he wasn't qualified to go. See, that's a blessing. He didn't even think he was qualified to go. But God had already equipped him. Because when I looked up commission, it said the act of granting creative powers. And it said the authority to carry out a particular task or duty, the authority granted the matter. See, I can't hardly read my writing. The matter or to be authorized. But so what he was saying was God gave him creative power. And if we think about the rod that was in his hand, he gave him something to work with. So he gave him some power, because God told him, he said, what's that in your hand? He said, throw it on the ground. It became a snake. And when he got over there to Pharaoh and he began to talk to Pharaoh, he said, the Lord, my God said, God of Abraham, the Isaac, and Jacob, the I am said, you got to let my people go so they could be able to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and begin to make sacrifice. And that's what he wanted them to do. And so that's what God wanted them to do. Of course, Pharaoh, he didn't know God. He didn't. He didn't know God. So he was like, I'm not letting them go nowhere. Why are y'all here? Why are y'all here saying this? I'm not going to let him go. So that was the beginning of the hardening of his heart. Because God did that for a purpose. God was wanting to harden his heart. He said, I'm hardening his heart, because he had to take down those gods that they worshiped that were idol gods. And so he began to fix the situation so that the Lord would be God. He would be reckoned the God. The I am was speaking. And so when the I am starts to speak, he's going to make things happen for you. Heaven will fight for you. You got to get some strength behind that. And when you look up to God and say, Lord, I need you to fight for me. And I need you to bless me. God was with Moses. I'm talking about God was with Moses. And God is with you. I remember telling you back in Genesis, I said God was with Joseph. God favored Joseph, and he was merciful unto him. The same thing applies to us today. God is with us. God is merciful unto us, and God is favoring us. You got to believe that. You got to believe. I don't care what it's looking like. I tell you, I don't care what it's looking like. When I really get to tell what the testimony over here, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. Because I'm telling you, God has been with me, God has favored me, and God is merciful unto me, and his grace is just abounding for me. And so I'm so excited about God. So I know what I'm talking about. I'm just not talking about the scripture, just to be talking about the scripture. I know what the Lord, I was in oppression. I was in oppression. I was in oppression on a job. I was oppressed. They was oppressing us. But God brought me out. And then this is the thing. And so, but he brought me out, and I went through a testing and a trying period. I went through that affliction. I went through that thing. But I'm telling you, God is bringing me out. He's favoring me. He is my God. I'm so excited about it. Praise the Lord, all of you, all that are joining me on Instagram, and those that are joining me on YouTube, and those that are joining me on Facebook, and those with me on Blog Talk. I'm excited about it all. But anyway, let me go back. Okay, so then God was calling Moses, and he said, Moses asked him, who am I to go to Pharaoh? See, here he goes with excuses. Moses asked, who am I to bring Israel out of Egypt? And Moses brought Israel out of Egypt as he promised. So he did bring them out, but he had to go through the process that God had set forth because God was trying to do something with Pharaoh. And he told him, so they went through all of that. Moses was told that he was sent by God. And God wants to do more through us than we can imagine. And that's Ephesians 3:20. He said he wants to do exceedingly above all that we can even ask or think. God wants to use you in a great way. But you got to stop making excuses about it. Because when God calls you, he commissions you. So that means he gives you power. And that power comes through the Holy Ghost. So you got the Holy Ghost power. Thank you, Roy. Roy told me to breathe and give me some water. I got to calm down. I get excited. You know, I get excited about all this kind of stuff. But anyway, the Lord is fighting for you. Let him do it. Let the Lord take care of it. Stop trying to do it on your own. When the Lord is speaking, let the Lord speak because God can do it so much better. He had already promised that he was going to bring them out. God has already promised he's going to bring you out. He will bring you out, and he's going to bring you out into a wealthy place. He brought them out into a wealthy place. They didn't go out poor. They went out wealthy. And it's just not about the wealth. It was about them coming out and believing God. We got to believe God. We got to trust God. We got to have our faith in God. Get your faith up. Hallelujah. Get your faith up. And so that God can bring you out. Stop looking like, I don't know if it's going to happen. It's going to
happen. Sister Denise.
Yes. Elder Dawson. Oh, no, Bishop Allen.
Sister Denise, yes.
Come on, Randy. I mean, Pastor Dawson, let's talk, you know, we're free as well.
Yes, a pastor at our church, Tracy Palmer, preached that what you were saying was true. God had to take time with those plagues because she preached that every plague represented a God that they had in Egypt.
Yes.
And God put every plague on there to bring down what they had up as a God.
As a God.
So it
yes.
was true what you were saying concerning God had to take his time to break down every one of those gods that they had erected.
Thank you. That's what, yeah. Because if he had to bring them down, too, because I thought about he was doing it to teach the Egyptians a lesson, but he had to do it to teach the Israelites a lesson. Because we got to remember, they had been in Egypt all of that time. And so because they had been in Egypt all of that time, they had, some of them had begun, you know how they did in other places, they had begun to take on that these were the ways, and it was not this way. God never intended for them to serve another God, only him. That was it. And so we have to be confident. We only have one God. I know people want to say there's some others, and so people got to do what they do. But I'm telling you, I'm so glad that I serve the one true and living God. He's a living God. He's still living today. He ain't buried nowhere. Jesus ain't buried nowhere. They said he rose on the third day. Come on. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. I'm so thankful that he's alive and well. I'm just so happy about it. I'm thankful to God about it. That's why I said I didn't think I was going to get through this this all the way to six today, because I said three has so much in it. Let me go back, because I want to talk about the heart and the Pharaoh's heart. The heart and the Pharaoh's heart, because when Moses went to Pharaoh, when he finally did start going to Pharaoh, it says Moses was, first he had to go to the elders of the church. He had to go to the elders of Israel first. So let me start with that. Let me go back to this, because I get excited and I get ahead of myself. So Moses learned that God is I am. We need to know that he is I am, and it is what it is. Moses asked God who he should say, and he said, I am. And so anyway, then God sent him. Let me go on and talk about it, because I keep reading this paper and get on my nerves. God was sending, at the same time Moses was trying to give excuses, God was sending Aaron that way at the same time. Aaron is Moses' older brother. So Aaron was coming to look for Moses. And so because of that, God said, Aaron can talk for you. You tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron will speak on my behalf. But he was getting a little frustrated with Moses about that, because Moses was, he was just giving too many excuses. We can't, when God calls, don't give no excuse. You know, all of these excuses we come up with, because they're just fear. That's what they are, they're fear. And, we want to say, oh, well, I don't want to do it because, I don't want nobody to think, we ain't got time for that. Right now, I'm at this point in life because I'm getting ready to have another birthday, if the Lord say the same. And I don't have time to be waiting around talking about, I'm going to do it. No, whatever he tells you to do, I believe you need to get to doing it. You don't need to start doing it so that you can do what God has called for you to do. We don't have time to wait. Time is moving on. And the way the world is, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. He's coming back. It's getting closer and closer because the world is getting to be worse and worse. We got to think about the times that we're living in. And they've been talking about the Jesus is coming back since we were children. And look how old we are at this point. And so, but we haven't seen the likes of the times that we're seeing right now. We haven't even seen that. But we have got to make sure that we stay in the place with God. We can't get off track right now. We must walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes it don't look like things are going to go our way, but we got to walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot allow the enemy to keep putting us in a fearful place, because fear has no place in our life, really. If God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And so we need to focus on that power, that love, and the sound of power that comes from the Holy Spirit, the love and the sound mind that God has given us. That's what we got to work with. We don't have time to work with no fear. You don't have time to be afraid to do what God has called you to do. Moses was giving excuses, but he still went. He might have been giving excuses, but he went. He went to Pharaoh. And then Aaron spoke, but Moses was the one that had the power with the rod and all that stuff. He did it. And so we got to make sure that we do what God has called us to do. And so anyway, it says that Moses was to tell them that God would bring them out of Egypt. This is what he was supposed to tell the elders. And so he said Moses was to tell them that God would bring them into the land of promise. Now, this is the thing that it wasn't like they didn't know where they were going. When Moses went, he said, I'm going to bring you into the land of promise. He told them he was going to bring them into the land that flowed with milk and honey. He was going to bring them into the land that he had swore to their fathers to give them. He was going to bring them into that land. He was going to bring them into the land. And he said, and he already knew the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and Amorites, all of them was on the land. But that meant he was going to conquer that and give them that land. He gave them those instructions. When God gives us those kind of instructions, we can't fear what's there. So God has already said it's ours. And when it is yours, you got to just go and follow the plan of God and possess the land. But that's not what happened. But anyway, but Moses told them all of this stuff, and so they were excited about it, because they had been groaning and crying, so they were excited to hear that God had heard them. I would have been excited about that alone, because God heard them. And so when he went to tell them all this stuff, they should have been excited because saying, oh, my God, he heard us. God really heard us. And he's getting ready to do something about it. Isn't that something? To know that God has heard you and he's getting ready to do something about your situation. That alone will make me holler and scream. That's a miracle right there. That God, he was so, that he heard your cry. He heard your groaning. And he said, oh, I got to come do something about this. These are my people. You're his people. You're a son and a daughter of God. You're his people. You're his children. We are heirs according to the promise. We are heirs because of Jesus Christ and joint heirs with him. We're his people. He hears your cry. He hears your groaning. And God is coming to do something about it. That right there ought to make you shout right there. When he told him that, I'd have got him to start dancing. Because he had told them they had been crying, they had been groaning. And the Lord, and then God, Moses came to him, he said, the Lord heard your cry. And he's going to bring you into a land that was promised to you, that was promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. It was promised to him. It was promised that he was going to bring you out. It was promised. Look at you need to look at your situation and say, God promised he was going to bring me out. And that ought to give you joy alone right there. Even though you may not see it, you got to walk by faith and not by sight, but you ought to be excited to know that God said he's going to bring you out. Anybody else on the line got anything they want to say? I'm still in chapter 3. I'm telling you, it's a big chapter.
Elder Denise, along with what you said, God is not a liar. He's not a man that he would lie, nor the son of man that he would be made to repent. He means what he says. Amen.
Glory. Thank you, Pastor Dodson. He means what he said. He ain't playing. He means what he says. You might be playing, but God means what he says. He said he's going to bring you out. He heard you cry. Woo! That ought to make us shout and dance right there. That right there ought to make us just go straight in. We ought to be so, oh, my God, I'm excited about it. So anyway, Moses heard that God would judge Egypt. God said to Pharaoh would not let them go. God already told him. He said he ain't going to let them go. That's all right. By the time I get through with him, he's going to let them go for real. That's why they was giving them all that stuff. They were sick of them to Israelites. They said, here, take the jewels, take the silver, take the gold, take the clothes. I want y'all gone. So my baby done died. Here, all this stuff is going on. No, y'all got to go. They didn't care. They gave them everything they had. That was the first time that I remember in Scripture where the spoil was given to them. They was asking for it, and they were just giving it to them. Usually the Lord take care of the enemy first, and then send you over there to get the spoil, and send you over there to get the stuff. This time they were giving it to them. So, I mean, this was a whole different situation right here. But if you read some of the others, like it was Jehoshaphat and some of them, it was a different situation. But anyway, so God knew that Pharaoh wouldn't let him go, and God knew that Pharaoh would have to see the works of God. So he knew that's what he was going to have to see. Some of your bosses need to see the works of God. Some of y'all being oppressed at work. Your bosses may stop fussing with them. That ain't your assignment. Your assignment is to work because you're there to work and get a paycheck. So your assignment is not to be going back and forth with that. God will take care of that for you. I'm giving you what he's saying here. He took care of it. And he will show them that he is God. He'll show them. Not you. You ain't got to do it. All you got to do is walk upright. You got to be a living epistle because that's what we are. That's what our assignment is, to do that and to show people love in spite of what they do. We got to remember that. Or sometimes we're on the job to be for somebody to see the God in us so that they can begin to know who God is. We got to remember that. So anyway, God said that afterwards, Pharaoh would let them go when he got through bringing down them gods. But God, the last God, was the fake God. I mean, was Pharaoh. They thought Pharaoh was a god. And so the Lord had to bring him down. So I was talking about the heart in the heart of Pharaoh. Let me see if I can see this. I'm telling you. My glasses. Let me see if I can turn this other light on. Hold on. Okay. More light. And so it says here, there are two aspects of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. One, the judicial, and the second was personal. The first expresses the sovereignty of God. The second one I just said reflects the responsibility of man. And so then it says, in the course of the narrative of the contest with Pharaoh, the Lord is spoken of in 9 instances as hardening Pharaoh's heart, whereas Pharaoh himself is in 3 instances said to have hardened his own heart. So Pharaoh thought he was the one hardening his heart, but really it was God doing it, because God was showing Pharaoh who he was and bringing down those gods that were in the play. And so that is amazing. I think it's amazing. Anyway, so I want to go back to this where it says, where Moses began to go talk to Pharaoh about letting the people go. And it says, Pharaoh was not acquainted with the true and living God, having been an idolater and a believer of many gods. So see, here they are, of metal and of wood, and worship in Assyria. But sacrifice was necessary for the redemption of man and the restoration of his dominion. The whole Bible centers around, here we go, this is the type of shout, this is what I'm saying, the sacrifice of Christ, which all animal sacrifices typify. When they sacrificed the animals, they were typifying the main sacrifice, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the one that hung on the cross. They were typifying Christ. And so that's what they were doing. So when he said that they had to go and sacrifice, 3-day journey and sacrifice, he was talking about because our redemption came through Christ. So this was a type and shadow of redemption because he was redeeming Israel out of the hand of Egypt as Christ redeemed us out of the hand of sin. So we got to remember that's kind of, typology that God would do. So anyway, does anybody else, I didn't think I would, I thought I would really get to 4, but I guess not. We're going to go with that next week. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not worried about it. We're going to tip on through here. That's what we're going to do because God wants us to know what he wants us to know. But anyway, so I'm so thankful for the opportunity to just to study the Word. I'm excited about it because, you know, it makes us go back through. We've read Exodus, I don't know how many times. But when I'm going back through it this time, I'm really getting excited about it. And then when I'm putting some other study with it, you know, I'm learning a little more about it, like, especially when I looked at Josephus and he was talking about them going. I never knew that the other shepherds wouldn't go up into the mountain because they felt like it was holy ground, and so it was sacred. But Moses went up there because it was the call of Moses coming to pass. So he called, but also he commissioned you. So I want you to be encouraged about that. When God calls you, he also commissions you. And so when he commissions you, that means he's giving you the power to do what he is calling you to do. And so you don't have to be worried about what your limitations are. Moses was concerned about his limitations, but we don't have to be concerned about our limitations because we're not limited because of Christ. The Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If we go on our own strength, it's not going to be we won't be able to get it done. But we're going in the strength of the Lord. We're going being commissioned by God. So as he's called you, you know, answer the call. Don't be afraid. Answer the call. God called you for a reason. God is bringing you to a place that he is bringing you to do his will. And then we're going to talk about the I wills, but we'll talk about that next week because God, he had a whole lot of I wills that he said he was going to do. And let me see, do I have time? What time is it? Did I lose my place? I might have lost my place. No, 172 is what I need to go. And it talked about the I wills, and I mean it was naming them. Yeah, here you go. Let me see if I can get to it. It says there were 22 predictions of God in Exodus 3. So we're in Exodus 3, so let's read them. The one was, I will deliver Israel. So I'm reading because I got my FaceTime, but anyway. I will deliver Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians. I will bring them out of Egypt into a good land. I will bring them out, bring them unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites. And I will be with you, Moses. I will give you a token. I will bring you out of the affliction unto the land of the Canaanites. Israel will hearken to you. Pharaoh will not let you go until he is forced to. This is what he said. I will smite Egypt with plagues, and then he will let you go. I will give Israel favor with the Egyptians. That's why they got the spoil. You will have plenty when you go. My Lord, you will have plenty when you come out. That's a blessing right there. I'm getting excited about it. I'm going to have plenty. I'm going to confess it over my own life. I'm going to have plenty when I come out. Oh, my God. You will spoil the Egyptians. Aaron will come to meet you. He will be glad to see you. I will be with both of you and teach you what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman. He will be to you as a mouth. You will be to him as God. See what the Lord is saying. And Aaron was the older brother. Come on here. I will use them younger brothers. Now he did that. You will do all these wonders before Pharaoh. You will do wonders by this rod, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he will not let Israel go, but I will slay the firstborn of Egypt if he will not let Israel go. And God did just that, and he let him go. And so that's the third story, but we haven't got there yet, so we won't talk about it in detail. So anyway, if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to give your life to Christ. And so because, you know, you want to be found in him, I'm telling you. When he comes back, you don't want to be trying to do it after it's happened. You want to be found in Jesus. You want him to be your Lord and your Savior. He's come to redeem you. He's come for your redemption. So if you repeat this prayer after me, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner. Save me. I believe that you, God, has raised you from the dead, and that God has raised you from the dead, and that you are my Savior. I know I'm a little backwards, but anyway, let's pray. Forgive me of my sins, that I may learn to live according to your will and to your way. And Lord, please fill me with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. And so if you prayed that prayer, some version of it, and you were sincere in your heart, I believe that you are saved today. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. It's a wonderful family to be in. You got so many sisters and brothers all over the world. It's a wonderful thing. It's multicultural. It ain't one-sided. It's multicultural, and God loves each and every one of us individually and collectively. So thank God for your turn. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church that you will be able to continue to grow. There are some good churches out there. We got good churches in Indianapolis. Beach Grove Bible Church is a good one. You got churches here in Texas. We got all kinds of churches here in Texas. My church, the Potter's House, come on over there if you want to. Come on over there. They over there and bringing in souls. And so just be blessed by, and then we have other services and people. And so we're just so thankful that God, I just love what he said today. This is just chapter 3. We were just in chapter 3. It was a whole bunch. When I started looking at that, I thought, I don't know if I'm going to get out of chapter 3 today, so I guess I was right, I didn't. But anyway, we're going to move on through it. We're going to keep studying his word, because to know God is to know his word. And that is our series that we are in. And so I'm excited about it, and we're going to keep on going in the name of Jesus. Now, let's see. We don't have nothing else on Saturday this week. But go back and listen. Listen to yesterday's men of favor. Those men, they had so much to say. We're going to do a part two with them because they had so much to say. They were incarcerated at some point in their lives. Now, but they came out of prison and became business owners and homeowners. Because, you know, so many times they can't find housing, they can't find jobs, and they can't find certain things. But the Lord blessed these two young men, and they give God the glory for it, and they give God the praise for it. And so you want to go back and listen to that. Especially if you know somebody that's in that situation, have them go back and listen to that. And, of course, the week before we had the men were in the prayer Zoom room, and so they were praying. Go back and listen to that. All those on my YouTube page, and my YouTube page is called, Lord, I done renamed it. Oh, it's Denise -180impact-APM. And so you want to go and listen to them. They're out there, and they're on Facebook as well, my page on Denise Bryson. And so you can go and look at those. And I'm telling you, you'd be so blessed, especially by when the men were praying. They gave some good insight. They were talking and discussing the word. So it was a lot of good stuff, a lot of good stuff. And then I had one, I think, about the retirement. For those of you that are moving toward retirement age, they said they're retirement, but then they move right into their passion. And so that was one of those. So that's a good one also to go and look at, especially for those that are, you know, 60, 50-ish, late 50-ish, and early 60-ish. And so that's something, you know, I call it ish. I just say that because we ain't giving no numbers. But anyway, anyway, God bless you. And see, what else? And so we got 180impact.org. Go visit there. Stuff and coming up in the school year, we're going to be servicing the homeless children. And children with hopeful solutions, and hopeful solutions in some place. Look at that, and that's some place. Those are people. They're doing things with. We doing things with against substance abuse. People coming out of substance abuse situations, and so that's going on. And then also go to DeniseBryson.com, and I got my books and stuff and T-shirts and stuff out there. If you want to buy anything, that's my store. And so, and then we give it, and then, you know, we give stuff to our nonprofits and stuff so that we can be able to fund these projects. So this is what we're doing. Anyway, God bless each and every one of you is my prayer, and thank you for joining me here on Facebook Live, Instagram Live, YouTube Live, and on Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to give prayer, and then we're going on, we're going to clean it, we'll be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless everyone under the sound of my voice. God, I ask you to bless each and every one that will listen to this broadcast later, those that are listening now. We thank you for those that were on the broadcast, those that were on Facebook, those that were on Instagram, those that were on YouTube. God, we ask you to cover them with your blood, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you and we praise you and we worship you, God. We thank you for so many things. But, Lord, we know that you are a covenant-keeping God, and so we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us out. And, Lord, you're not bringing us out empty-handed, but you're bringing us out with a spoil. So, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for the call and the commission, God, the power, that Holy Ghost power that you've given us to do what you have called us to do. Lord, we thank you, and we glorify you. Bless each and every one that may be going through a sickness, Lord. Heal their bodies, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless those that may have lost loved ones. Comfort them and keep them as only you can. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to strengthen your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, just to touch us, Lord, with a mighty hand, God. Hallelujah, God. You told us greater works shall we do. So, Lord, bring us in a place that we can begin to do those greater works, a place spiritually, Father. And, Lord, we also ask you to bless us to sit at your feet and hear what you are telling us to do. So, Lord, we thank you and we glorify and we magnify your name. Thank you for this lesson today. We pray it fell on good ground. Thank you for Pastor Dotson and the words that he gave us, oh, God, and the encouragement, Father, in the name of Jesus and the wisdom, God. We thank you. Oh, God, we bless your holy name. And thank you for each and every one of them that joined us on Facebook Live. I'm so thankful for you, Lord, and I'm so humbled by it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Bless everyone's week. Bless their travel back and forth to work or wherever they have to go. Be with them, lead and guide them. Be their covering, oh, God. We pray, we speak Psalms 91 over their life, Father, in the name of Jesus. You're their shelter. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You're their refuge and their dwelling place, Lord Jesus. Lord, cover them, oh, God. Keep them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we believe your word. Hallelujah, we honor you and we thank you and we glorify you and our faith is in you. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you. Is my prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And if you can, share the video. Share the videos and stuff like that. Anyway, y'all know. Anyway, God bless you. Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm trying to get all these gadgets going. So I feel, oh, my God, here we go with all this extra today. But anyway, praise the Lord, everybody. Truly we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. I'm so excited about being on and continuing on our series